time to walk in between the worlds without meaning. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations, a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome, beloved listeners, to our show, Walking Between the Worlds. And today we will study and explain some of our interaction with some of the other stellar systems. The aliens, as we call them, which I prefer to call our star brothers. But as we start this show, it is about time, after multiple shows of Walking Between the Worlds, to take a look at why I have chosen to break the silence on so many things that normally mystics shirk to speak about. You see, because of the enticement of the hidden realms, most mystics have neglected keeping their focus on their own growth. Few have therefore achieved the mastery of losing the ego and attaining the impersonal life of a God consciousness being. For those with ego, making themselves vulnerable has seemed very unappealing. To expose the mystical world that the average reason-dominated mind cannot grasp does exactly that. Even when miracles, which simply are the revealing of the hidden realms, take place in front of, for example, some of my students, their minds tend to either minimize it or they could just argue it away. Let me give you some examples. In front of three students, a patient levitated a foot off the bed as I worked on her. One student closed his eyes so he didn't have to deal with adjusting his world view, and another, whose cancer had been healed during exactly such a healing, no longer wanted to study with me. Some months later, the third demanded I prove myself by showing him a miracle. Next example, a group of students at my house during the time of a huge dragon fight. We discussed dragons last week, beings that are often viewed with a lot of suspicion. Thuds could be heard that sometimes knock things off the wall. Bluish lightning, with and without a thunderous sound, could be seen around my house but nowhere else up and down the street. A few months later, they wanted me to show them proof of unseen worlds. Then, I gave a former office manager photos of Mother Mary's face appearing in my stained glass windows during prayer, explaining what they were and asking him to keep them safe. Three Polaroid shots caught the image developing from just the outline to a complete life-sized face. The cloths over her hair and her beautiful face could be clearly seen. He threw them away, claiming that they were junk. In almost every instance of the multiple dozens of miracles or supernormal phenomena that others have experienced through the work that I'm engaged in, they have either ended up discrediting me or the event. This has happened to mystics and prophets over many ages. It is because the tyranny of reason is maintained by strongly fighting off or ignoring anything it cannot control or explain. It will create the most bizarre conclusion if it has to, if it can argue away the possibility that the experience lies beyond the grasp of the left brain. An example of this during a beautiful spring night when a lady, she's a Blackfoot woman, was a house guest, she saw a fairy in my backyard. She explained to me that she enjoyed watching the electric hummingbird strung on a wire in the backyard. The most bizarre explanation that her left brain had come up with. Now, there's actually a second reason why the mind doesn't register the hidden realms other than just arguing it away in the instances that we have given. That which lies beyond ordinary cognition is accessed by the right brain. All initial energy is used by the left brain. If the mind has a deafening internal dialogue and is very disorganized, it will use all available energy. And for most people, this leaves very little energy to access or interpret anything they may experience from the hidden realms. I had a class ask me once Why? I did not lead them into alternate realities by shifting what we have discussed multiple times on the show, and you can sure read about it in various of the books, the assemblage points, which is a ball of light for most people that are in identity consciousness. It's an arm's length behind the shoulder blades. And if you shift it, it shifts the perception of reality. So they asked me why I didn't do that for them. So they badgered me just a tad, and finally I said, okay, I would, but ask them first to check the time on their watches. They did so, and then they sat there waiting. What seemed to them to be a minute later, one of them asked, well, is anything supposed to happen? I asked them to look at their watches again. 45 minutes had passed. Not one of them had enough energy to enable the remembering and registering of the events that had taken place during the previous 3/4 of an hour. Because of the egocentric benefits of increased power and prestige, interaction with the hidden realms have brought mystics. They've shunned it, and, you know, alternately, they've also, the ridicule it could evoke. They have been silent about these topics, especially about alien interaction or interaction with star beings that we're going to be discussing today. Even well-intentioned mystics have felt that revealing these aspects of their lives could potentially jeopardize the credibility of the higher perceptions they wish to impart in order to raise consciousness. Now, you know, dragons, as I've mentioned in particular, seem to be somehow a source of great controversy. There's this deep-seated fear that somehow they stand for the Antichrist or black magic or demons or Lucifer. Many will still accept angels as being authentic, perhaps even fairies, but attack with anger anyone who speaks of dragons. Our belief systems, my beloved ones, they are prison bars, trapping us in the materialistic world of mind and the five senses. The arrogance with which man has thought he knew his universe has strengthened his blindness and widened the chasm that divides him from the beauty of the unseen worlds. They teem with exquisite life. This, coupled with the unwillingness of mystics to speak about them, has steeped the unseen realms in mystery. We have recently published a book that is available through our office and from Amazon.com, Aruba Sirena, the Book of Fairy Magic. And in there we have actually got photographs of interdimensional realms, and we will within some days have a brand new website up that will show you, for example, a photograph of a dragon above Glastonbury Tor in England. Why is it that I have decided to break a lot of the silence that surrounds these topics? First of all, my life is truly not attached to outcome because I have overcome ego. Most of the guests we've had on the show have done the same. I have nothing to prove and everything to learn. If I deviate from this in any way, I have beings in the unseen realms who will immediately point this out. In many other planetary systems, where the enthusiastic contribution of the elemental kingdoms have been unnoticed and unappreciated, they've left, causing a devastation in nature. Their lives are like ours. They have triumphs and tragedies, individual personalities, and they too have the desire to be appreciated and understood. Humanity has had such an infantile understanding about their role in relation to other mystical kingdoms. For example, they've assumed that spirits that channel through mediums have higher wisdom, that angels are all-powerful beings who will save them while taking very little responsibility for saving themselves, that the God kingdom has been out of their reach, and that man is so lowly he cannot hope to take his place among them, that higher dimensional beings automatically have more light and love, and above all, understanding, and that humans have little power. These are all erroneous beliefs. They've believed that God has nothing better to do than hear their prayers and that suffering may further enhance their standing with Him. Once again, they feel they will be saved from pain. It is truly with the sincere desire that man, that incredible microcosm of the macrocosm, powerful beyond conception, will take his place as way-shower of the cosmos, that I share these experiences and insights. And, for example, the photographs. We have got a photograph taken by a group of masters and myself through a 10-story window in a hotel in downtown Toronto. Of aliens outside the window, we have the handprint of one with a pink ball of light against the window pane coming out. This type of alien who have pink glow around them. Their planetary system has a pink glow. They have strange little squeak sounds with all due respect, like a piglet. And we've encountered them before. We've had tried to converse with them. It's been impossible. For some reason, telepathically, the communications aren't picked up from them. But we have a photograph of one such being putting his hand against the window in the Aruba Ferina book. You see, authorities and experts everywhere conspire to keep the masses locked into primitive belief systems about their origins, history, and other discoveries that will shift man's paradigm. They hide the discoveries of giant artifacts and remains. We've spoken about giants. Sacred objects and records that indicate that advanced races have lived here before. Indication of populations in the earth and interactions with these star races. It is assumed that keeping humanity locked into immature beliefs will make them more controllable. It is criminal to rob races of their right to know. I wish to be part of the solution to this problem, not to perpetuate the dilemma. If even a seed can be planted to say that all is not what it seems, we have begun the journey out of the confinement of mind to the place of expanded awareness and mastery. The journey must be walked with humility, born of the knowledge that from our vantage point, the vast majority of the cosmos is as yet unknown. Now, there are two very good reasons why we have been such a hub of activity from alien races. And this is aside from the fact that man is indeed growing up. I remember that we had three beings in the back of my class in Toronto in February of 2005, when the Earth started its ascension. And it has been, as we have heard from the multiple masters that have come onto these shows, ascending ever since. These three beings were able to come without a spacecraft from the star system of Andromeda. They called themselves, I beg your pardon, it was from Antares. They called themselves the three white ones that are one. They had long white robes on. They stood with long white hair. We asked them if they would participate. They spoke to a brother in the back of the class. They said no, they had come just to observe. But the point is, why come to observe? They have come to observe because suddenly the awareness of the Earth raised. And the signal was sent to many star races. Man is taking his place amongst the star family of enlightened beings. We will take a break for commercials. Please come back right after the break when we have a very special guest for you. Thank you, beloved ones.
Almeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Almeen as your toltec guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Al Mead on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. Log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mead. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Al Mead.
We welcome our listeners back to Walking Between the Worlds. We are particularly grateful for those of you that join us every week. You are becoming like our family. Now, we have spoken about one of the reasons why there has been very much increased activity of communications and contact from alien beings. A little later in the show, we will speak about the hostile contact that has occurred and why it has been put to a stop. But let us start on a more positive note. There is a very deeply hidden, until very recently, reason of why the Earth has been such a hub of interaction and interest for star beings. And where this information is coming from is from a group of beings that I discussed on the program we called The Lost Kingdoms, that for eons and eons of time, in fact, through 18 cycles of life, which constitute the huge loop of existence that is the descension and ascension that is called the loop of the Great Fall. These loops are the loops in which man has fallen and all life fell from higher realms. And the darklings, as they are called, beings that live in the depths of the ocean that we have been totally unfamiliar of, they haven't even made it into our fairy tales, have been the ones that have kept the history of these cycles. And so today I have asked the wonderful researcher Hilda, that I have frequently mentioned in the front of my books and given acknowledgement to, for her valuable contribution in everything that we produce in the form of media, books and otherwise. She is also the one that you can speak to when you call our office. To her, my gratitude. I'm going to ask for her assistance to get the information, the translation of the Darkling's information to you that gives the origins of the Earth. And you will see that she did not originate here in the solar system. But firstly, I must express my gratitude to the Darklings for their lonely vigil in keeping the history of the cycles safe, that at the end of the fall, when ascension takes us to where we are, they can bestow it upon us. Always, when speaking to them, I feel their love, something that cannot be faked. Their true humility and sincerity always shines through our multiple conversations. To the Darklings, I give my deep respect and my love, praise, and gratitude. I will now welcome Hilda. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you and to the listeners.
Good morning. And I wanted to ask you if you could please give them the translation from the Darkling language of the history of the 18th cycle ago. In other words, where did the Earth originate? How did the fall happen? And every little bit that she has given you the translation of, I will give a little bit of an explanation to make it clear.
All right. Before we can speak, or before we can know of the cycles of the fall, we must speak of why it happened at all. 40 and 4 cycles, or levels above, an aspect of Mother reigned with love. From her was created a god of light, but to create him, she gave her third eye sight. She made herself incomplete to fight to create him that day, thinking she would raise him closer to her that way.
In other words, if I may just explain, 44 cycles above where we are, well, where we were a few weeks ago, there was an aspect of the mother who is the goddess that gives life, where she reigned with great love. But she wanted to create from herself because she is the embodiment of the infinite that is. She wanted to create a god of light, the companion. How she created him, because she wanted to close the gap between her creation and herself to some extent, is she created him by giving a part of herself away. But you can't create completeness when you make yourself incomplete.
But incompleteness cannot completeness create. She did not know this till it was too late. Her love for him was strong and pure. She could not see his treacheries for what they were. We turn now our tale to 20 levels above, where a lower aspect of the one mother loved with one of her lower aspects children did sire, but 6 children there were with evil desire. Because of the blindness, we even then fell, but now it's time of the great fall to tell, the one that caused 18 cycles of life with suffering for all and toil and strife.
In other words, what happened is that when she created this god, 44 levels up, at a lower level, one of her lower aspects, 20 levels up, sired 6 children that conspired to gain control. They too, like the father, had illusion within them. And because she could not see this, there was blindness. And so a fall happened, engineered by them, but also due to the fact that she could not see their treachery. But now we are going to be telling of the cycles of the fall and where the earth originated.
It was to their gain for the fall to be, for the lower life fell the less she could see. The more control they then could gain, the more they could torment and cause her pain. Finally captured and at their feet, the mother no longer order could keep. A big bang happened in a fallen state, but now we tell of Earth's sad fate. By 12 star systems before surrounded was she, but now with tremendous speed they shot free. The Earth herself shot from her space, but a collision shattered her face. Once known as Tiamat, her size 3 times more, now she was shattered with debris from before. Where she collided was far from here, with a planet then known as Migatoberi.
In other words, Earth used to be much bigger. She was known as Tiamat, which actually in the ancient tongue of the mother means eternal mother. Her size was 3 times more. But now, from the Big Bang, she shattered with a planet called Migatoberi, and she collided with it, breaking off pieces, and so she became much smaller, surrounded by her own debris.
Few beings did survive. Humans weren't yet formed. All were in shock, losing memories from before. From Mother's hand on the planet she loved came so human souls from realms above. Bodies she made for those that did come to support the mother was the motive for some. But others wanted in power to grow, for no one knew how far the dissension would go. To stabilize the earth by debris surrounded, Lord Harlot was called to keep her grounded.
So just to translate this into a little more understandable language, the souls that came in to inhabit the earth in human form, and some came in to inhabit other star systems, but the souls that came in either came in to support the mother because her positive or more masculine aspect fell as the fall happened. So they either came in to support her, but others saw it as a great opportunity because in the fall, more power might be able to be gained by them. And so some came with this ulterior motive. It is at this time that the one mentioned in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth and mentioned also by myself in various of my books came in. He is called Lord Horlet, and he is our planetary lord. He dwells at the center of the earth at times and at other times in a temple called the Halls of Amenti, which is in the crust of the earth.
Another star system then was Earth's heavenly home, Mother loved her, though she seemed insignificant to some. Mother loved Earth's heart of purity, and at this time decided her destiny. On the earth, Mother's palaces did stand, one above the ocean and one on land. The one above the ocean was where she wanted to be alone. The one on land was a more public home. The land masses then were joined into one. Their movement apart had not yet begun.
So in other words, the mother of all creation, the aspect of her that fell, the embodiment that fell into the fall with the multiple creatures, actually took up her home here on earth. And it became a very important place. From that time on, its role changed. One of the reasons we have created such attention.
We must now tell of a chosen one, how a boy was chosen, though very young, to represent the cycles from 18 through 8. Much suffering and pain would be his fate.
And incidentally, this is a young Native American boy, 6 years of age, that actually lives in Canada, and he represented the cycles of the fall.
And now we speak of the Earth's former home, where she was despised, loved by Mother alone. There were those who deliberately made her seem bad. This lowered Earth's frequency, as it made her sad. Two mighty planets ruled by kings, Kolob and Melanginga, and other planets in ring.
Now we have the origin of the Earth. She started, and we actually have a papyrus that speaks of this in one of the Mormon scriptures that is called the Pearl of Great Price, of the place where she originated, two mighty planets, Kolob, and the Maya call this Hunapku, giver of mover, movement, and measure. And the other twin big planet is called Melanginga. And then there are other planets in rings. We will come back right after this, and we will now have a commercial break and continue the origins of the Earth among the stars.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almian experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing science. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the Molten Master, in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Tota Nagua and seer, Almian's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages gain the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almean.com or call 502-499-0016.
Thank you. nature's source of life and health. A goddess is born to banish the night, to awaken the magic of life inside, driving your heart with dreams to dispel. The long night is over, the dawn has begun. Upon the earth, the goddess has come. Turn the key that turns the page and ends the darkness of the bygone age. Fawn and elf and self delight at the ending of the dark and fruitless night. In every kingdom the news resounds. The goddess reigns and joy abounds.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back. And those of you that are just joining us, we have seen from this history kept by one of the forgotten kingdoms, who were the history keepers of the cycles of the fall, that the earth actually originated in a place where there were two mighty and large planets called Kolob and Melaganiga, and that at that time her land masses were all still, all the continents were in one huge big landmass. And we are showing that the earth's origins is not in the star system and why it has become such a hub of interest.
So, the lords of all, but it was their arrogance that caused the next fall. Shot from their midst, the earth was repelled, and with her exile, all life fell.
So just to repeat that, because they actually did not get her on right as she started to read, we're reading the translation of the history given by the race called the Darklings. The ruler's race by humans called lords of all. The first few words were cut out as Hilda read that. But it was their arrogance that caused the next fall. Please continue.
Shot from their midst, the earth was repelled, and with her exile, all life fell. Her surface, though marred, sustained humanity, but none did survive the catastrophe. On the surface, but spirits continued to be in the hollow earth, giants and some of humanity. Much terror there was, and no memory before, of anything before, and no history. The fate of the landmass, too, appeared grim, for instability began around the rim. Those that survived because of their fear could no longer feel the mother near. It was fed by those who could plainly see that one day the earth would a deciding force be.
And if I could point this out, you see how very, very crucial the earth became? And one of the reasons, as we've seen from the previous transmission that we have translated, is that mother chose to live here, and she had two palaces here. Mother is the creator of all life, the primary goddess within all of these cycles of the fall. So when the earth was shot from the midst, repelled by these two large planets from which she originated after the Big Bang happened, with her exile, all life fell. In other words, it caused a falling of all life. So it shows us just how important her rise in consciousness or her falling consciousness is. At this time, everybody lost their memory, and because of the fear that this event generated, great losses of life, the landmass started to become unstable. Those that survived could no longer connect with the mother.
Deliberately they did the planet malign, that none would want her so they could in time. These were the four gods by mother's deceitful love sired, who with their father's help against her conspired. The two goddesses evil did not yet have their power. She welcomed all six, them with love did she shower. And thus trusted they came on earth to live, to scheme and receive from her gifts she did give.
In other words, the lightest of the light was here, on earth, also the darkest of the dark. And so all of a sudden, the earth becomes the archetypal battleground, shall we say, of light and dark.
The more there was fear, the more pushed away the earth was thrust on her lonely way. But some there were who were tired of fear, and once again to the mother drew near. As they once more mother's love could feel, they slowly changed to ascended beings. More than half ascended to a higher home, having used adversity as a stepping stone.
Let's take a look at this. This is very, very important. So as mother was pushed away, as the earth was pushed away on her lonely way like a comet shot through space, she moved through multiple star systems. And these star systems, it took time for her to move through them. There were exchanges that happened. Some of their beings incarnated here. Some things of Earth were left behind. And in some instances, portions of the kingdoms, such as the fairy kingdom, were left behind on some of these other planetary systems that the Earth moved through when it was shot away from its, shall we say, home up with these two large planets. Now, a group of beings got tired of the fear. And instead of fearing, they decided to turn yet again to feel Mother's love. And so, through their attitude of praise and love and gratitude, which are the three ascension attitudes that we write so much in multiple of the books, they changed themselves from mortal to immortal and became ascended masters like some of those that you have had on the show. They used adversity as something that could propel them forward instead of weighing themselves down. But, beloved ones, when the lightest of the light left the planet because they ascended through the sun of whatever star system we were in at the time, because waves of civilizations have always done that. They go through the star systems, through the suns when they ascend into higher realms. Suns are like gateways. The Earth suddenly had only lower frequency beings left. And so, we will have Hilda continue with the translation.
No longer on Earth through a sun did they move. Their higher frequency the Earth did lose. Thus the Earth did plummet into a fall, taking with her creations one and all. So ended the cycle 18 ago, as all burst through the membrane into below.
Thank you so very, very much, Hilda, for the translation. It is an extraordinary, extraordinary privilege to receive these transmissions from the kingdoms. All of them have kept pieces for this time when light would again dawn on the planet and this information can come forth. Now, beloved ones, we have given you two reasons why there has been this interest in the Earth from alien races. One of the reasons was the reawakening and the ascension process that the Earth entered into in February of 2005. But there is another reason. You have seen from this piece, that's just one of the 18 cycles that was translated for you by Hilda, you saw that in fact, the Earth, when she fell, everything fell. But the opposite is true as well. And so when the Earth raises, everything else raises. Now there are beings of advanced races technologically with a lot of ability, but that have not had love in their hearts. And these races, with the ability to time travel and see that at some point, the Earth would pull their races into oblivion. That they would cease to be, because as the Earth raised in consciousness, so it raised the entire consciousness of the cosmos. When that happened, those that refused to change. For truly, Mother gave every opportunity. She gave them feeling bodies. And we described on one of the previous shows exactly what it is to be given. Previously, I think it was the Dragon Show, because Mother gave the dragon races feeling bodies. She gave every opportunity. She warned them, use these or you will be pulled into oblivion. But still there were races like some in Orion, some in the Alpha Centauri, Beta Centauri area of the Southern Cross, multiple races that resisted change, that resisted love and anything to do with enlightenment. And indeed, as the Earth pulled the consciousness of all life upwards, they were pulled into oblivion, because such races cannot survive at higher levels. In order to try and save themselves, they had two plans of attack. One is to introduce technologies to governments that were greedy and that were short-sighted and separatist in their point of views and looked for their own power only, that would in fact do exactly what had been done before, trash the environment, trash the earth. The other that they did is that there were major beings of light that incarnated in this lifetime in order to assist through the overcomings of their own lives with the ascension of the planet. It is for this that they have come. But they have been put through the ringer. The star brothers that were so hostile have abducted them multi-generationally if needs be. If they saw that a great light worker was to be born at a certain time on, say, a specific continent, they would go back generations, tamper with the generations to damage the child when the child was still in infant stages or young, and hope that it would not blossom and it would not bloom. I have even had instances where they have abducted them and turned them into addicts, so that again it would suppress the life force and the consciousness of these beings. We will take a little look next at how the spirits were captured specifically of a special group of children named the Indigo Children. And you can take a look on the website under Indigo Children to see that a group of wonderful children have been born. What did they do to them? Join us after this break.
Elmeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmeen as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. And log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Elmeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Elmeen.
From masters of the higher realms, it has been understood that millions of light promoters on Earth have been the subject of abductions. This has stopped. There might be some programming that might have survived, though I doubt it. Mother dealt with this as well. It has stopped because the Earth raised in consciousness, something they tried so hard to prevent. It raised all of the cosmos as well, pulling races into oblivion as they resisted light and could not survive in these higher realms. I had my own nightmare with that. I adopted a beautiful little girl at the age of 9 months. And she would see beings in the room that I could not and would scream in complete terror as she clung to me. During the nights, I would feel drugged, and by morning my child would have nausea, nosebleeds, marks on her little body. My agony over this grew unbearable. I slept with my arms around the child. But still the abductions continued. She was put out of school because of her rages, and I hardly knew how to deal with them myself. I could only hold her as she beat her head against me, kicking wildly. I was also concerned that her speech was slow in developing. They usually tamper with the speech so that the child can't tell what is happening. Then one day, when she and I had been crying together over her agony, she looked deeply into my eyes, and abductees usually have had a hard time making eye contact, and with great effort said, "I love you," her little mouth struggling to form the words. About the time she turned 3, she came to me after a brutal 2-week period and again looked deeply into my eyes and said, "Mommy, I'm better now." She was indeed at peace immediately after that, for instantly she could no longer see into the hidden realms. She couldn't see the monsters with the red eyes. The nightmares may have lessened, but we felt unsafe. All my calling on angels, lords, the ascended masters, even begging the Master Christ, anyone for help, had not brought results. I lay on the earth and sobbed bitter tears of frustration and impotence. Through my grief, I heard clear, calm instructions on what to do. The voice was coming from the earth. Her abductions did become much less frequent, and she flourished at school as well as socially. They had gotten what they came for, as I would find out later. They had abducted her dream body, her alternate body that's more etheric, as well as those of 300 other indigo children and 50 Chinese brilliant children. According to the spirits that I worked with at the time, there are 1.8 million indigo and 200 brilliant Chinese children on Earth. The story of how I encountered them on board an Orion ship begins like this. The Ascended Master Melchizedek had informed me that the Earth would let me know when hostile ships entered her atmosphere, and she did. The signal was a sudden attack of severe nausea. I would then practice the techniques the Earth had taught me, ship after ship, until the nausea would be gone. The week before the incident on board the Orion craft, 14 ships had entered our space. I was awakened from a deep sleep by the nausea and worked until it left, knowing all ships had been dispatched with the help of Mother Earth. The following week, I was taken on board an Orion craft. They sent a probe of an arrow of green light into my head. Terrible pain. But they pulled me up with this like an arrow on a string, and I felt myself transported. A period of great confusion followed, and then I found myself on their craft. There was a human-looking being who took me to some cages and showed me the children there, and one of them was my little girl. I was then taken to a table with a document I was to sign. The confused feeling was still present. They had a ridge around their heads that looked somewhat human and had darker skin. They did not speak, but I could hear their thoughts. After inspecting me, they exchanged looks of disbelief. Could this puny human really have destroyed their ships? Everyone then became more insistent that I signed the document, which appeared to be some sort of contract. The pain in my head worsened, and but suddenly I felt myself pulled out of the craft and onto another. I stood in front of a totally different species, a very strange alien. He had a leathery-looking face, pointed chin, and his top lip looked like that of a tortoise. He looked at me for a long time, making deep eye contact. He wanted me to see that his intent was to help. He turned his head sideways for me to study his profile, which displayed a very small nose ridge. The forehead slanted backwards and the eyes were deep set. This kind alien helped me home that night. And the spirits finally got those arrows out. There was a green arrow in the head, and when they pulled it out, there was still a deep blue core, and the pain did not go away until finally that was out as well. About a month later, the goddess of all life set the children free. That day, my little one cried and cried and cried in heart-rending sobs. She followed me everywhere for days, not wanting to leave my side for a moment. Her nightmares were nearly over. Approximately 2 months later, the cosmos was moving into a much higher frequency. And Thoth came to warn me that within an hour after that transition, the entire Orion fleet that had been involved in the abduction of those children was planning an attack on the Earth. They recognized Earth as the pivot point, the way shower that with one more shift would pull their entire race into oblivion. The Orions had time-traveling capacity and saw that in the near future, their race would cease to exist, and because of the losses of their previous ships, they hid 12 years into the future. And Thoth warned that the seventh year forward from the time we would pull through that gate had a time wrinkle and had to be skipped. It was at this time that they approached the Mother, and she teleported their entire fleet into the sun and destroyed them. My brothers and sisters, listeners that have become my family, we have had multiple interactions with star beings since then. We have, during the ascension, frequently conversed with starships. In fact, right after there was a massive move, we had 80 starships above the house. And the following conversation took place. They said, "We came in a hurry. What happened?" I explained that time and space had merged when we did the move. It's part of the ascension of the cosmos. And they said, "We don't want to fall off space. What is the ascension?" And I explained that the whole cosmos is going to be pulled up into higher frequencies by the Earth. Now, we explained this in some detail in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, as well as the book Ring of Truth. They said, "We do not want to fall off space." And finally, I called Thoth in to please try and explain to them. But they said, "We can't wait. We have not had nourishment for a long time. We came immediately to see. Who are you?" And I said, "I work to make sure the Earth survives. If she doesn't, neither will you. Perhaps you can help." "Brave one, we can't stay. Need nourishment," is all they said. And I replied, "It is humanity that is brave. They go through much suffering to resolve the problems of all star systems so all can survive. They live their own and your problems to get the insights." They then indicated that they had to leave immediately. The many conversations and noises from other ships had become silent as we talked. All listened. And then Thoth arrived within some hours and gave a thorough explanation to all the remaining ships. We also actually had an incident that was quite extraordinary. We had somebody that was calling incessantly in my head, and I could feel, and there was a group of masters with me, and they felt the same thing of a star brother calling for help. Apparently, one of the ships that came in to see the ascension process of the Earth had crashed. And it had also been noticed by the authorities on Earth that, you know, that with their usual clumsy short-sightedness, they shot down at least this one ship that we knew of. And so when somebody was asking for our assistance, we couldn't quite determine the source, but one of the masters saw images of the space brother being brutally interrogated. So I asked the spirits to go and look, and they immediately verified this. They confirmed that up to that point, they had only terrified him. They hadn't yet injured him. And this is, my beloved ones, where the dragons that we discussed last week are so vitally helpful. We called a dragon to assist, and the dragon actually went and saved the star brother and brought him to my home, where he stayed for a day until his ship picked him up. It is good news. Those that are hostile are gone, and the Earth is ascending, and all of our star brothers with us. We have become a VIP, a very important planet. Thank you so very much for joining us on Walking Between the Worlds. And next week, we will speak to a very special guest who is, in fact, going to speak to us about her interacting with the world of energy, Dr. Anne Geeman. Join us then as we look at this beautiful expert who has the ability to read inanimate objects as they record events. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.